We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Today's reading is from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. If I could just have that on the screen, please. It's a long one, so I'll read. Is that NIV? Okay. So it reads, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the reading of the Word of God. Last week, Mrs. Kagbo did an amazing job taking us through the book of Luke, where she taught us about Mary and how she was a woman who made room, who was intentional about making room for God. She gave herself to God. She was prepared to make room for God to the extent that she didn't even withhold her womb. Today we want to continue in our series, Make Room for the King. And the message, the title of today's message is Make Room for the Unexpected. Today we want to look at the same event from last week. However, we're looking at the book of Matthew today. We will get to see instead how Joseph responded to the same unexpected event. Now, I'm sure other married couples in the congregation here will agree with me on this. Before you say I do to your spouse, one of the things that you really have nailed down is you have to be in agreement with where your life is heading. You have to be in agreement with what direction you are taking in your life. Now, I can't preach on marriage yet. I'm only an infant. I'm only a baby. I've been married a few years. But this one thing I know, before you say I do, there has to be clear expectations in place. Now, normally with good marriages, there's discussions, you know, when will we have children, if we are having children? Where will we live? Where will we fellowship? You know, what jobs will we do, careers? And there's discussions. It eliminates an element of surprise. We all know where we are heading. We are in the same journey together. We are in union on this. Now, of course, we all know, for those of us who are married, might have experienced this. We make our plans, you know, and on our wedding day, you always do get that uncle or auntie who step up and start trying to insert their own plans, you know, like ordering twins or something the following day. That happens, but you know, it's all in good love. But as a married couple, as married people, as people on track to get married, there is normally a mindset where we've agreed and this is where we are going, and there may be people coming to drop in something here and there, but we are in agreement about where we're going. Married people, do we agree? Okay. The amens were louder than you had, by the way. So Mary and Joseph, just like any other couple, I would imagine would have had these conversations to a certain extent. If not, if, let's say, for example, culture was limiting because it was a culture where, let's say, maybe men were more likely to take the lead, then we can then expect that Joseph, at the very least, would have actually had an idea of where he wanted his family to be. Now, one thing for sure is, I would go as far as guessing that I don't think in any of their discussions there was a point where they thought of Mary being pregnant before their wedding and thought of it as their plan. I would think that this is something that they wouldn't have seen at all coming their way. This is a plan where it was dropped to them unexpectedly. I believe this couple was a couple that loved each other. We see from the scripture how when Joseph thought he was wronged by Mary, he had already made up his mind that he wasn't going to humiliate Mary. So he basically made up in his mind that I will not divorce her publicly. I will do this quietly and put her away. And I believe that this came from a place of love. I believe that this came from a place of care. Now, I want us to capture one thing from this. Mary was pregnant before their marriage. If we can see one thing on here, it will be that Joseph, if you picture Joseph at this moment, he would have been disappointed. He would have been thinking, Mary, this lady that I've been planning to spend the rest of my future with, has not taken our commitment seriously. He's not taken our plan seriously. She has interrupted the plans that we have in place. He would have been disappointed by this. However, as Joseph was planning to step away and make his own plans, he was interrupted. He got an interruption from heaven where he was informed that this was no ordinary interruption. This was a heavenly interruption from the throne room of God. Now, please understand this one thing. God was not, I repeat, God was not looking for Joseph's permission on this. Amen. God was looking for Joseph's obedience. Amen. What is your attitude towards interruptions? What are you like when people interrupt you? It could be at work, it could be at home, it could be anywhere. Do you find yourself, you get riled up, you get frustrated, you get enraged, you feel like if someone moves something out of place, something out of the detail that you have together, you feel frustrated. What is your response? Does God have room to drop the unexpected in your life and you be okay with it? What can we learn from Joseph and Mary and how they responded to the unexpected? Point number one, God's plan is not only better, it is good. The book of Jeremiah 29:11, we are all familiar with this scripture, which reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." We know this scripture, we say it in our sleep, we know it very well, but the question is, do we actually believe it? We say it, we profess it, Christians know this. It's probably one of the most Googled scriptures out there, but do we actually leave it? I'll give you an example. Numerous times myself, I have found myself questioning God and his plans. God tells us, do something, and to me, it doesn't sound like a great plan. It doesn't look on. It may look like the timing is off. It may look like there's a few things that God is not taking into consideration. Am I the only one who's ever felt like that? Now imagine you're running, you know, you're running out of wine at a wedding. That's a problem. You reach out to Jesus, you need more wine, and the solution he gives you is, you see those jars of water over there? Go pour water. That's the solution. Pour water in those jars of water. You ask Jesus for wine. Or maybe you're in a remote place, you've got 5,000 people very hungry, and thinking, how are we going to feed these people? And then we find that there's 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And we tell Jesus this, and Jesus is like, yeah, let's feed these people. Tell them to sit down. We're going to feed them. See, many times when God says some of these things, it just sounds like, have you not considered that 5 loaves and 5,000 people is a big mismatch? Have you not considered that water is not even wine? Have you not considered that if you're asking me to not apply for this job or to leave this job or to leave this relationship or to get into this relationship or to jump into this ministry and lead this ministry, you have not seen the things that I see, God. You have not understood what it looks like from over here. I know for a fact that I have struggled, I have battled with that many times as a Christian. Now, if I was Joseph, there'll be many things going through my mind right now. The angel comes and speaks to him and says to him, proceed to marry this woman, stay with her, stay in marriage. Now, I'll be asking myself a lot of questions. One, why didn't God wait till after the wedding? This would have been so much easier and so, like, it would have been less messier to deal with. And is God not aware of the timing? Now, if you actually put yourself in Joseph's shoes, and feel free to imagine coming to explain to Pastor Anderson that, Pastor Moyo, I've got my fiance. She's pregnant before our wedding. I had nothing to do with it. However, I'm going to marry her, and I will raise child, and I will stay with her. I will proceed with our plans as planned before. That sounds bad, right? That just doesn't look good. I think some of us will even move church. You know, Pastor wouldn't know where we went, because it just feels like there is a lot that is to take on with this plan. But guess what? God approaches Joseph and says, Joseph, this is my plan A. This is the plan that I want you to eliminate your well-thought-out plan of, yes, you are doing good, you know, you're waiting before marriage and everything, but this is my plan A. I want you to proceed and marry this woman. This child is the work of the Holy Spirit. I want you to step out by faith and trust me in what I'm doing and where I'm leading you. My guess is Joseph would have preferred many other avenues. My guess is he would have preferred many different routes other than this. Now, God has plans that we know nothing about. Amazingly, he chooses to accomplish these plans in and through our lives. Often this will require us to change our plans or to align to his. God purposed Joseph will be the earthly father of Jesus, the savior of the world. Joseph obeyed and acted in faith, doing everything God asked him. In trusting God's plans as better than his own, Joseph fulfilled God's prophecy, prophetic word, and was used to raise the one who would become the savior of the world. Joseph was willing to place everything aside, all his plans aside. He was willing to place his credibility. He was willing to place his life. I'll touch later on that. He was willing to make room for the unexpected for God. Now, as children of God, we can be sure of one thing when it comes to God's interruptions in our life. Our well-researched plans, our well-strategized plans, can never outdo God's unexpected plans in your life. There is no level of research, of preparation that you can do that will outdo God. As children of God, we need to understand that if God inserts and interrupts his plans in our life, his plans are definitely better, and they are unquestionably good. And I believe that Joseph understood this to carry forward and step out in faith in this unexpected situation. He had to have this digested in his system to move forward in confidence. The word of God puts it this way. Hosea puts it this way. His going forth is established as the morning. What that means is that God is sure about the way forward for your life. It's as established as the morning. There is no confusion. Morning is morning. It's as sure as day. That's how God is with your plans. He's not guessing. He's not predicting. He knows. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. So you can rest assured safely in his plans and know that you are heading the right way. Amen. Church, I want us to understand whatever challenges we face, there is no obstacle, there is no challenge that has ever caught God by surprise in your life. There is nothing that's ever popped up. Be like, oh, I asked him to travel and go and minister in Turkey, but he doesn't have money for the plane ticket. God doesn't work like that. God doesn't work like that. He is ahead. He sees the beginning from the end. He is outside of time. So when he's asking you to do something, he's already resourced it. He's already timed it. He's already provided everything possible for this to be executed to completion. Amen. The only missing factor is usually us trusting that his plans are definitely good and unconditionally they are better than whatever we have in our lives. Now, how would you respond to this? Joseph trusted the unexpected plans of God and made them his plan A because of his obedience. He got to be part of a great orchestrated story by God. How would you respond to this? Do you believe and trust God enough that you would lay aside your plan A? Your plan A for his plan A? Are you willing to drop your plans and give it all to God and say, you lead the way? Joseph was willing to do that. God is actively at work in our lives. May we desire that God would enable us to live a more expectant life, watching for God to show up, intercede, and transform us. Point number two, hearing his voice allows us to navigate the unexpected. You know, sometimes we can be so deep in our circumstances, in our plans, in our thoughts that we actually forget about God. But I want us to look at verse 20. Put verse 20 on the screen. Now, it actually reads and says, but after he had considered this, some versions said, but after he had thought of this. He basically took time to think. There wasn't a this happened action. It says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife because what is conceived is the work of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was human. I'm sure when all this unraveled, he would have been feeling hurt. He would have been feeling confused. He would have been feeling betrayed. This was a woman he was now prepared to spend the rest of his life with, and this happens. We remember the story of the adulterous woman in John 8. The woman was dragged before Jesus, and the people dragging this lady before Jesus were quick to point out to Jesus that the law of Moses says she should be stoned to death because of what she's been found doing. You see, this is how you would have expected Joseph to react. The very fact that the Bible actually goes to tell us that Joseph was a just man and he had decided to quietly divorce her without being loud about it because he cared for this lady tells you that this wasn't the normal avenue that was taken. We see this in John 8. The normal avenue would be she's done wrong, shaming her, and even to some extent, she will be stoned to death. So you see, Joseph wasn't a very rash man when it came to his decisions. He took his time. Now, you may be thinking that's an extreme reaction. Who drags someone to death over being cheated with? But we actually do the very same thing today. Whenever you see it, just go on online, social media, you'll see it. Someone gets cheated on. There will be a video, Facebook, Snapchat, whatever you call it. There will be a video, there will be tweets, there will be all sorts put online by the person being cheated on. They are dragging that person to the panel, that is social media, the judges, that is social media, and saying, look at what they've done to me. They have hurt me. Stone them with your comments and hurt them and give them the same pain that I'm feeling right now. We do exactly the same thing. So this is not extreme. And it would make sense that Joseph would have responded the same way because he was hurt. He was hurt. Hurt people have a tendency that they are hurt and they feel instantly there's something in them that wants to return the hurt so that you can feel how you have hurt me. They have a tendency to not stop and pause and say, relax, stabilize what's happened, assess the situation. They just unleash. I'm looking for the word. I can't find it. But basically, it's almost like it can't be contained. They just have to respond by impulse and hurt the other person so they feel the hurt that I'm feeling right now. That is how hurt people respond, but not Joseph. The word of God tells us that he took time to sit before God. He took time. He wasn't rushing his decision. And this allowed God to speak to him on the matter. Now, I believe Joseph taking time and not rushing, his posture would have been a man that says, I don't know what to do here. I had invested in this as my way forward in life, but it's been interrupted. I don't know what to do here. God, help me. And God dispatches an angel and says, Joseph, this is what you are to do. Church, if we are going to be a people that are able to handle the unexpected, we need to be a people that under whatever circumstances, no matter how much you think you've been wronged, no matter how bad the situation looks, you need to be a person who says, I first and foremost, before I move, need to hear what God has to say about this. You need to have that posture, and that way it will make it possible for God to dispatch a message to you and say, this is how you move on from this situation. John 10:27-28 reads, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, when we read that, at no point does Jesus say, my sheep sometimes hear my voice. At no point does he say, my sheep, when it suits them, hear my voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice. What that statement implies is this is a continuous intention of hearing the voice of the shepherd. It means that it is not a one-off. It means that it is an actual lifestyle, no matter what your circumstances are, of intentionally wanting to hear the voice of the shepherd, because you know that he is the one with your eternal life in his hands. He is the one who will navigate you through the unexpected in your life. Joseph was attentive and heard from God, and God helped him navigate the unexpected. May God help us to listen so that we may hear what he speaks over us. May he help us to cultivate a posture that will pause to listen and a readiness to change and redirect after we've heard what he has to say. Point number three, obedience is the attitude needed to experience the unexpected. As we follow the narrative of the Advent narrative, we see three times where Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, not only heard the voice of God, but heard and obeyed. He demonstrated an obedient heart. For those taking notes, you can read this later. You can find this in Matthew 1, 24, 25, Matthew 2, 13, 15, and Matthew 2, 19 to 23. You know, sometimes when God asks us to do something, it could be hard. It can be inconvenient. It could sound confusing. And sometimes it might even feel embarrassing. Like, how has God asked me to do this? Does he not see what's around me? But Joseph models a heart that pleases God in the sense that that's not his attitude when he's asked by God to do something. He doesn't have questions for God. He has obedience for God. It's a tendency in our lives that when God gives us something, we feel like we are Simon Cowell. We have to be, that would be a no for me, God. That doesn't make sense. That's a full buzzer. What do you call the buzzer? The golden buzzer. Thank you. That's a golden buzzer for me, God. That's right. That job pays 80,000 a year. That's a golden buzzer for me. We feel like we are the judging panel, but Joseph understood that he was not the judging panel. He was actually being told by the judging panel which avenue to take to navigate the unexpected. How about Mary? We learned last week from Mrs. Kagbo, when Mary heard when the angel delivered the news to Mary, Mary's response was, "My soul magnifies the Lord. May my spirit rejoice in God, my Savior." You see, Mary, when she had the same message, she realized that she was a blessed woman. Her heart overflowed, and she outpoured a song of thanksgiving and of gratitude. The attitude of obedience, the attitude of being grateful, is the attitude that we need to be able to navigate the unexpected. What are you like today? When God interrupts your plan, are you grateful for it? When God interrupts your plan, are you obedient about it? Or are you sulking over the corner like Jonah, complaining, throwing yourself out of a sheet to be swallowed by a fish because you can't handle what God has asked you to do? Are you obedient when God speaks to you? Part of making room for the King is preparing our hearts by cultivating a willingness and readiness to align our plans with God's plans. The way we do this is by daily submitting our hopes, dreams, and our future to God. Joseph and Mary, when interrupted, responded by making room to God. I'm going to actually show you this. This caught me by surprise. Do you realize that when both Joseph and Mary were presented with this situation, they said yes to this situation, but in the culture they were in, there was a possibility that they saying yes to this could lead to their death. How so? Joseph has said yes to a plan that involves him proclaiming that this has never happened before. His fiance just got pregnant from nowhere, and he is going to say it was by God. Do you know how, when you read the New Testament, you see this all around. They will be quick to pick up stones and stone him. Stephen was stoned for less. Stephen was stoned for less. So him saying yes to this plan, these are some of the things that would have played out. How do I approach my leaders and say this is what's happened? He could have ended up being stoned to death. Mary, it would have been easy for them to think, this is out of fornication. This little girl is just lying. Stone her to death. Both these individuals would have been aware of this, but still, they valued obedience to God's plans over their life. They were willing to make room with their life for God's plans. Where are you today? Would you place your life on the side for the plans and the purposes of God to advance in your life? All the angel actually said was, a son will be born to you. I may have read this wrong, but I don't see him actually giving a lot of conditions, a lot of, I guarantee you this won't go wrong, this won't thingy. He just says, this is what you are to do. There is no additional notes. It's just, this is the contract. Are you signing yes or no? And they responded in obedience. If God is asking you to do the unexpected right now, and it just looks like it's loaded with consequences that can end you, it feels like God is not considering some factors that could be an issue. This is what the Word of God says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, when it comes to the story of Mary and Joseph, they understood that the Word of God will come to life in their life, and that this story will unfold in the very same way God intended to when he first presented it to them. What is your attitude towards being rerouted by God? Would you trust God with your plans and your life? Advent is a fresh invitation from God to hear the voice of our shepherd. Jesus says he knows us and he has given us the safety and security of eternal life. Just ask yourself the question today, where do I need to realign my plans with God? May the Lord help us grow our capacity to trust him and obey what we hear. May he open up our eyes and hearts to understand what a privilege it is to be incorporated into the story of the King of Kings. Church, God is inviting us today to make room in our hearts for him to do the unexpected through our lives. The festive season is a season associated with giving gifts. I want to request today that may you reserve one special gift for the King. This season, may you reserve a room in your inn for the King of Kings. Do not send the unexpected plans of God to the stables. Make room for the King of Kings in your inn this season. If you're here today and you've heard this message and you're like, who is this Jesus? I've never heard this Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to introduce Jesus to you today. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Lamb that takes away our sin. He is God in the flesh. He loves you so much that he was willing to take your place and die for you. He was willing to take your place at the cross and die for you. And he did. Festive season is a time associated with lights and Christmas stars, and it's all merry all around us. But with all the loudness of the lights and the decorations, I want to remind us that, make no mistake about it, Jesus is the light of the world. He is the star born in Bethlehem. He is the real star of Christmas. And he's saying to you this morning, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and he with me. Church, I want to encourage us today. Let us respond to God. I don't know what your plans for Christmas were. I don't know what you intended to do, but my challenge for all of us, my encouragement for all of us is this season, make it your personal goal to have a gift for the King of Kings. And that gift will be you making room for the unexpected. You making room for the King of Kings to be able to freely move in your life and touch others through the plans that He has in store.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.